Crouch. Bind. Set.
Joe presents The House of Rugby, powered by Vodafone.
Surely they've let us loose on the new series of House of Rugby, powered by Vodafone. The headmistress is away. What next, mate? 45 minutes of carnage?
It's great to be back. Great to be back, and we're in studio. So it's a lot different than the Zooms we've been doing. I can actually see your beautiful face in person. And we have a very special guest with us tonight. A finalist of the Premiership, a coach in the finalist of the Premiership, Adam Jones.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Good to see you, pal.
Yeah. I haven't seen you forever, for a long time now, are you?
No, a long time.
No, you've seen me.
It would be two the day. That's right, yeah.
Talk about the weekend, though, mate. What a comeback. How proud are you, the boys, there, eh? Unbelievable.
I honestly, I don't think I've been involved in a game like it. I think, speaking to DC after the game, saying, I've never felt like I had. Because it's different as a player, isn't it? It's like you can influence the game as a coach, you're just kind of like hoping. And but not, I've never been involved in something like it. It's ridiculous. 28 points down, you know, trying to keep it under 50. And then all of the next thing you know, Dorma scores, and you just see the confidence in the change rooms. And then the slowly Vach, we build it up. And yeah, and you can see them kind of falling off a bit then. So it was good.
Loved the whole emotion afterwards out of coaches.
Yeah.
It's nice to see it. It's nice to see it in rugby still.
It's hard, Beth. It's hard being up there. Yeah. Really tough being up there. And yeah, it's nice to let it. I think we had to let it out. I see Fla was just going nuts. And Snap was going nuts.
Does Fla not cry every week, no?
He loves a cry. He loves a team.
He is, yeah. Hanky he should have, and he's top pocket all the time, the way he goes on.
Yeah, Fla.
Yeah.
But what was said at half time? I mean, obviously, you got the try just before half time. Gives you a sort of foothold, but at that point you're unbelievable second half.
Yeah, there was no, like, I don't think there was any inspirational sort of speeches or anything like that. I was just, I think, the boys spoke, we came in, could get a bit of detail around our areas and stuff, but we needed to start fast second half, and we did, and then you can just see the confidence building. You know what the Quinns boys are like, as soon as they get on the roll, a tough bunch to stop, especially when, we were scoring first phase tries as well, which is amazing from us as well. So there was no sort of bollocking half time or Churchillian speeches. It's all quite calm. Everyone's a bit shell shocked, but I think we got the confidence from the tries we scored pretty soon after half time, and then sort of set piece started getting a little bit on top and started grind a few bits out like that, and just to see it through at the end was unbelievable. So it's good for the boys who've been there a long time as well. Your Marlas, your DCs, these guys, and then because the young kids just play without any sort of fear anyway. So it's not.
What about Pat Lamb? Did you speak to him afterwards?
He was good as goal. He came over, shook a hand, and said, "Best of luck. Go and win it now." I think it's 2 years in the bounce they've lost now, isn't it? I think in the semis, and is a lot of resources being put behind that team, like, they were a good side, and as you saw the first 25 minutes they were ridiculous, and you realise when you're watching like the Piatows or Dradras, these guys are
they're savage, class players,
different world.
we'll have another few players back in the Prem next year as well. Bomb was Alex, you got promoted again. Well done.
Yep. I didn't have much of a part to play. I think I played 3.5 games, but it's great to be back. I think
two big test games for you, Dewar.
Yeah, well, look, that first week the boys were unbelievable. To go to their ground, their fans, on our back, and to win 60-0 was an unbelievable performance. From
was there much
the
niggle
from
the fans and the players?
It was from the crowd,
was it?
They had a real vendetta against Sean Maitland for some reason. There was a group of six Aussies who were flying into on the wing every time he'd have a run. They're like, "Oh, you butchered another try." They're flying to him. And then second half, they went to the other corner just to give him more stick. So he was taking a bit, but they were quite quiet in that first leg.
Yeah.
There'd been a bit of niggle, according to the boys, in the first two games
you
played in the Trail Finals Cup. Sorry, it's
different. Rainbow Cup.
Yeah, not the Trail. Not Trail Mix Cup.
I find it funny the teams that kind of take a hiding like that as well are still yappy. I don't know what their belief is or whatever, but like, I don't know why teams yap if they're coming up against the Saris, for instance, who have all these quality players in it.
Boy.
But it's just the way it is, I think, now.
I think if you're reeling, you realise you're not going to beat the team who've got like Farrell and George and Vinopola.
Lions players.
You've got to unsettle them somehow, haven't you? I think you've got to do something. But maybe 60 points off the first leg, you know.
It was a little bit winded down a bit. Goody, the big question I suppose everyone wants to know is, what outfit did you wear afterwards to the after party?
It was...
full kit again?
No, not full kit. No. A bit more restrained. But no, I just went in... We'd organised a team sort of day in caddies and golfers and everything like that. So I was just in some pretty terrible golf gear.
You were a golfer, obviously.
I was a golfer, yeah. We had the Happy Gilmore caddy was out there in full uniform. And no, it was a good day. I mean, I've only just got my voice back today. It's been a few good days.
I seen Big Billy's Instagram story. He was cheers into a pint of lager in the middle of Ealing somewhere. And he's on. He didn't look like to have anyone around him. But
yeah, I think it's sometimes, you know, when you get to the end of a social or something and you sort of look around and you're getting Ubers to the next joint and you're sort of left on your own sometimes, like, well, what's happened here? But
Billy was in Ealing.
Yeah, he was in Ealing somewhere.
He wasn't Ealing at the ground. With the trophy. It wasn't quite like that. We'd started off in sort of Hammersmith on by the river and just sort of made our way towards Paddington and maybe he'd taken a detour. I don't know.
I saw Kelly's fancy dress with the eyebrows bit.
So a few of the caddies put names on the back and everything. But anyways, what about you, mate? You've been to Jersey, made a few quid, made some mates as well?
Yeah, went to Jersey, met a few new friends, seen my brother and his family, watched the Lions boys training. I was there potholing them like a fan. it was actually quite strange to be actually at a Lions training session and not be involved in it.
Well done.
Thank you. But it actually, the realization comes to you that you're actually, I don't want to be out there with them. It looked way too tough. Lads looked absolutely massive.
Yeah.
As well, like, I was looking at even Ronan Kelleher, the Leinster hooker, when he was walking by me on the sideline. I was like, my God, he's an absolute unit.
Do you know who you were?
He kind of did, but he barely nodded at me. So left the last impression on Leinster boys.
I thought you were the leader over there.
The rest of the lads come over. The rest of the Irish lads come over. My generation.
He hadn't heard you sing Shallow then.
Nah, he hadn't. He hadn't seen me in my top off yet either. So that's a plus probably for him.
any catch up with Gats? Give him a warning that, you know, you still got it. Maybe if something goes wrong in South Africa, you're available.
You bagged him, didn't you, after the last tour?
I didn't bag him. Didn't you? it wasn't like that at all. Hold on, Bam. You're worse than the media at the time. They really drew that out. But no, it was an interesting week. I didn't see Gats. He was too busy probably to come over and talk to me. But it was actually quite cool looking at the way the Lions might try and play and stuff, which was quite interesting. There's a few lads on fire. I thought Dan Bigger was absolutely class in training. Who else? Some of the Scottish lads were really, really going really well. Lads that I suppose that people wouldn't really know about, but they were really sharp in training. Murray was very good. Anthony Watson, incredible. So he was in training. Very good, his feet and stuff.
Is Al running the show or?
Al was running the show. He came over to me afterwards, gave me a bit of a fist pump, but he was, the same old Al, running to everything, leading from the front.
Keen as mustard.
So it was good. The weather was terrible for the boys. I think they've had two good days at start. Yesterday was a good day-ish, and then today they've left, so it was it's an interesting place, Jersey, and I think there's talk of them going back there now after the tour because they were meant to go to Gibraltar to isolate, but I think they're going back to Jersey now to isolate.
Fair plan.
Just because it's a better bubble, it's easier. They have a massive new complex there.
Yeah, that's right.
They call Strive, which is just recently built. I had a walk around it yesterday. It's a class facility too with Astro, and the Jersey Reds rugby club is like running things like clockwork. So I think a lot more teams probably will end up going over there to train over the coming years. So it's been, it's a good experience.
I did hear a rumour though that you were up for the coaching job at Jersey. Not true?
You weren't
going out there, put your CV on the desk?
Not that I know of yet anyway. Yeah. But, get in contact if they want after next year. I'd be happy to
play a coach or just coach.
Well, after 35, 36, I'd probably play a coach at that level.
What would you coach?
Attack. I coach the attack.
Yeah, and pick himself up, fly off.
Anything is possible.
And you didn't see Bobby out there?
I did see Bobby, actually. I wanted to ask him about the Bobby Cup because in the last kind of two tours, he had me involved in a fair bit of stuff on the Bobby Cup.
I remember the things where you were involved.
Yeah, so it's...
For boys or people who don't know, obviously, explain Bobby, who he is.
Do you want to explain him, Bob? You've probably...
I came across him in 09. He was Craig White's little sort of grey-haired dude and this little northern guy, just full of energy. I'd never come across anything like it, you know. And he used to do these... he's got a few nick, and it was rope.
The wristwatch.
and he was a Bobby, and there was some of the stuff he did. I can't mention some of the stuff he did what he put himself through for the Bobby. But he was, it was just like basically man of the match, or someone did something really well, you know. Where I remember Mako getting it, dancing. And he gets like, I think he's got David Beckham and people like that to announce the Bobby Cups. And so he's got a few, tricks up his sleeve, but he's great, great bloke, great for tours, absolutely brilliant for tours. Yeah,
unbelievable on the tour. Like he's actually the heartbeat around the team room. So even when you hear him at a coffee machine going, "Oi," he'd be roaring and shouting at lads across the room. You're just looking over, laughing at him. So he's just brilliant for an environment. And the other thing about him then is that he knows his work inside out, which is class at as well.
Yeah.
So he's breath of fresh air,
head of conditioning for England, Wales, Wasps. I mean,
he's done it all.
I mean, he's brilliant what he does. But as you said, it's the energy he brings, just keeps.
He's non-stop, isn't he? And he's just like, all he goes, here, 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 here. He's not talking about him, just saying here. Great bloke.
He's a funny fella, and he was dictating everything around the field as well, and lads having little conversations with him here and there. And he always brings a smile to her face, so he is important at Lions, especially going out South Africa now.
Especially in, isolation as well.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be bobbing around the hotel just...
So enough about Bobby. We all know he's an absolute legend, and he'll bring the energy every week. But the big news this week, obviously, the team first game for the Lions. For anyone that doesn't know, Williams, Adams, Henshaw, Aki, Van der Merwe, Bigger, Murray, Sutherland, Owens, Furlong, Henderson, Alan Wynn, Byrne, Tipperick, and Conan. What are the thoughts first game, Shawnee?
I think it's a very strong team. I think, like, Gatland came out during the week and he said that everyone's going to start at least once before they get to a test game anyway. And, you know, you look at that team, there is test starters in there, but there's also a lot of lads who've just joined the squad who are probably our test starters, definitely test starters, the likes of Curry. And that's harsh on the likes of a Tipperick, who I always say Justin Tipperick is one of my favourite players, and he is world class. But just the way Curry has been playing in the Six Nations, and then, as you said, Bomb, earlier, lately, like, he's just gone to another level. And, you know, he'd be relishing that type of thing. So there's lots of lads come into that. But for the first game, for a hit out, they've had a bit of time together. They've trained well together. There's no real surprise in there. Obviously, there's been a few bits and pieces, changes in the last couple of days with bits and pieces. I think Watson was meant to start, obviously, initially. Who else has actually been brought in? Furlong has actually been brought in as well.
Watson as well.
Yeah, Fagerson. Fagerson has a knock. So there's a few lads that are picking up a few knocks like they always do. And to be fair, I think the coaching staff and the S&C staff will be just going, well, there's no point in rushing these lads. It's all about getting ready for tests. Yeah. So I don't see any surprises there. But it's an exciting team to see how to play.
Would you pick Tipperick at six? Could he play six?
He could.
Can he jump well enough?
Yeah, line option.
Yeah, he's... He'd be one of the primary options on the Ospreys, to be fair, on Wales over the last few years. Yeah. But I think you've got Tyke Byrne as well, isn't there? Who's over the ball, he's a line up forward. But I think with this first game up, I think something stuck with me when I was a player. And Ian McGeechan said in like the Living with the Lions video, the first game on tour is always a special one. And they get picked for that. So these boys will be, you know, absolutely bouncing, especially the guys who've never played. I feel sorry for Ferguson, because a young tight end back in Merrifield, but not going to play. But the guys who never played, they're playing the first Lions test on home soil as well, which is a bit clean off as well. So it's going to be a massive occasion for them. But I'm hoping they'll... Japan will be good. Japan are going to be a good side.
I mean, they've been training the house down from all accounts, speaking to a few of George Cruz's teammates, and they've been beasted, as they always are. But we saw in the World Cup, we've seen since then, they will play some good rugby. They'll move the ball, they'll test the Lions, you know, physically, you know, they'll try and run them off their feet. So it'll be a tough test.
Leach?
No, Maffey. Yeah, he's a great ball carrier.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. Ridiculous
ball carrier.
It was great for me, his first game back from when he found a new club, because he'd he'd been banned for chasing a member of staff around the car park, threatening his life, I think. And apparently it wasn't the first time.
He's a bit loose, isn't he?
He's the nicest man in the world to me,
yeah.
But it was his first game back against my team, and they were odds on favourites, and they were 42-0 up in the first half. He was just picking it up at 8, running at me all day, and I was just hating life. And then he just get up and help me up, and I was like, please, please don't patronise me anymore. Like, you're running over me every single time.
But yeah, I think it'll be a tricky game, obviously, to start with, because Japan have done a lot of things in the last few years. That's their first time doing it, like beating big teams, and they will be licking their lips, and they'll be preparing themselves for, like, to create another little bit of history for Japan if they were to beat the Lions. And like, I don't see them beating the Lions, but I see it as a really good test game. And I'm looking forward to actually going up and watching this game. But for some of those lads, as you said, Bob, I think it's going to be incredibly exciting. First one, and you want to hit the ground running as well. You want to try and get into a bit of a flow as a player. And yeah, it's interesting. And watching them train during the week, there was a bit of biting training too, even though it was a big kind of conditioning type rugby type day. But there is a little bit of niggle there.
There's always an element of, you haven't got any, there's no cohesion there yet.
Yeah.
Like, I think in 2009 we played Royal both some team, and it was like we were losing to 60 points. Sorry, losing to 60 minutes. And then we played the Barbars, and I think the fact they'd been on the beer for a week. Were you on that trip?
He's been on every other Barbar trip.
I like to associate beer, Barbars, and meat. I appreciate that.
Cash.
Shawnee, come on, mate. Pot kettle.
I don't know if you mentioned that, but it's always a tough game. Argentina in 2005, you know, so it's always going to be a tough game. And the fact Japan are a really good side as well. I think the Lions will win, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than you'd imagine.
No, I think I'm going to be really tight. Yeah. I think the Japanese will come,
because they'll be so drilled when they're so disciplined. Yeah.
I think chopping lads all over the place.
Oh, man, they're low chop.
They're the best chop actors in the world.
I think it used to be the Argentinians, now the Japanese have taken over from them. But I guess you'd assume that the Lions would be too strong set piece wise, a bit like South Africa in the World Cup. But as you say, it's that cohesion. Like, how do you.
Japan scrum is good. Like, if the Lions are going on top of the mall, yeah, but you see the Japanese scrum in the World Cup. It was. I think they went over the top of Scotland a few times, didn't they? I think.
Well, they went over Ireland.
They're so technically good, yeah. And it's like that. And so the scrum is going to be a massive factor in the game. If the Lions get dominance there, then it'd be a bit easier. But it's going to be tough. Yeah, they could scrum.
Yeah,
it'd be an interesting time. Interesting time.
And Bob, talk to us about, like, the mindset of the first game. There's less warm up games than ever before. Gatlin's going to be watching every single minute, and you don't want to obviously try too hard, overplay your hand, but you want to make a good impression. What's it like on that first game?
I found both really difficult. I was lucky to play in the first game. In the first one is in high altitude in South Africa, which is never ideal, and for running around just trying to catch your breath for the first 50 minutes, and you get subbed, so you kind of think you didn't play particularly well. But then the Barbarians game was so hot. I think, if you remember, the humidity was horrendous. It was like 35 degrees.
35 degrees, 92% humidity.
And we're just like, we were late on the bus. The traffic was bad, and yeah, as I said, it was the lucky they would have been on the beer for a week. Otherwise, it would have been a much more competitive game. But I think the hard thing for these boys is there isn't that many games, so you're gonna have to go balls out straight away to show Gats, show Townsend, show Tandy, show Muckers, you know, what you're worth. And so there's no, it's almost like, what's the street fight analogy? You can't ease into a street fight. They've just got to go flat out straight away and just leave it all out there. And just, if you get picked, you get picked. And if you don't, then, you keep working until you do get picked.
Yeah, no, I think on that point as well, lads who are carrying knocks now, for instance, who've, let's say, picked up a knock this week or be a head knock or whatever it may be, they actually don't have that much time to get themselves right again, which is going to be difficult, because I haven't played the first game on the last two tours because I was rehabbing, and I've probably missed the first two, if not three, and then gone into it. Like, that won't happen on this tour.
No.
That will not happen. Or if it does happen, you probably aren't in with a shout of that first test unless you, like, come out and you destroy the whole field and play unbelievably well. So that is going to be a factor in it. And I hope nobody within the squad right now get something that keeps them out for a couple of weeks, because it effectively is their chance of the first test anyway over and done with, because the squad is so competitive and training. And when you look at it, actually, that's what I meant earlier about actually don't want to be there. I wouldn't want to be there now as a player. It would be too tough. And I hopefully admit that the way they were training. You're like, Jesus, these boys are flying. They're big, they're strong. There's competition is fierce. There's a bit of niggle. So it's going to be really, really, as Bob said, hit the ground running or you're going to be left behind within the team, I think.
Gats would be one of the coaches I've come across who was so big on how well you train as well. He'll pick on people on how well they train. A lot of coaches say it, especially at club level. You know, you train really well as you play, but, you know, the superstar is going to get picked 9 times out of 10. But Gats, I think he'd be one of the guys I've seen as a coach who's just, if you train well, he'll pick you. And if you don't train well, he'll drop you as well. So he's not afraid to make those sort of calls as well.
Is there a lot of, say, full-on training or like actual contact training where people can, if you're a physical player like a Courtney Law or something, can you showcase that in training? Or is it, you know, because we barely do any contact training at Saudis.
Remember that collision corridor?
Yeah, the two ones that stick in my mind is the minute drill and then you have the offload drill, which we weren't actually allowed to offload in.
it was called the offload.
So you've got like three defenders, you basically got six against, and you've got to like kind of get through them and score in the end. But like, I remember doing a drill and I think we got through once, a few offloads, Sean Edwards going nuts. Why are you offloading? Well, it's the offload drill, Sean. They're contact you. So it's not the offload drill. But it was I'd imagine it'd be little blocks from there.
Not the done the other day. They done that collision corridor again. So that was, they had, rather than have three defenders, they had two, and it was like four attackers. And you just like get in. There was some big hits going in as well. So you only do it for a couple of minutes, but that's it. That's the contact element of it. But I do remember the real narrow one we done in 2017, probably the second week we were there, or third week maybe, that I was back training, and I got some shock to the system. Because it literally was like a 5 metre channel with two defenders in it, and you've only three against two. You're just like banging into bodies. You only do like two or three reps around the circuit, but afterwards I was like, this is mental what we're doing here, because there's no space like in 5 metres. So those type of things, and I think, to be honest, you'll probably know more, Bob, is that Gats actually likes that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like a bit of a juice up. And see who wants it as well a little bit more.
It's not technical. It's like he wants to see who's got the nuts to sort of, and how hard you work and smash them, and all just, you know, it's not like you're not going to go through the fine details of what angles you're going to hit the ruck. It's just, you know, and that's sometimes you just have to hit the ruck. So he'll, that'll be a big part of it. If he sees boys shying away, but then you'll have someone like Alwyn who'll do it, who's 36 and just go full out all the time. He'll drive those standards as well. He'll call boys up as well on it. So he's kind of, they'll probably work in tandem, like I'd imagine.
And look, you're going to South Africa, you know, there's no harder place to go. So you can't have people running away, that's for
not
sure.
Exactly. No.
But Sean, you said you've been down to Jersey this week. You know, what else did you get from training?
I just thought the way that we're trying to play is going to be a little bit more expansive, definitely. And I think the one thing I'd seen from training was that, you know, they've done a lot of unstructured training with Gregor. I presume that's, you know, the way Scotland kind of have played at times this year. So I think you're going to see a lot of ball movement. And, you know, he's stated already, Gats has as well, about the squad he's picked, both, like, let's say, back rowers involved in the squad, that he wants them to move their feet and be fast.
Athletic, mate.
So, like, I presume the game plan is going to be very similar. And it was good. It was, like, sharp to see. That's what I said. I thought Biggs was incredible in training. Just so sharp with his handling and his kicking and, like, little cross fields, little grubbers. Everything he'd done was just crisp. But everything was 100 miles an hour as well. And the other actually fellow who was really good, I thought, as well, was Robbie Henshaw, who I'm delighted that he's training so well and, you know, really looking forward to what lies ahead for him. So I think it's going to be a fast type of game and move them around a little bit.
You're going to receive a lot of kicks in you, so he's going to have to be like, get from point there to there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no point just playing them in my own game, really. You're going to have to kind of...
No, Dale want to get into a battle like that as well, I think. So if you throw something new at them that they haven't kind of seen before, that they don't really like doing...
I think if you look at it though, like when they played Japan, moved the ball really well, and they did cause them a lot of problems in the World Cup. And obviously, the physical nature of Africa, they came through in that quarter final, I think it was. But for me, I'm excited to see Henshaw play 13 this week. I think he's been the form centre so far, and you know, they've obviously tried him as a 13 more than the 12. But his combination with Aki will be really interesting for me, and hopefully, we'll see. to see him really shine the way he has for his club.
It's a funny way. I don't know how Gats generally likes a big 12, doesn't he? So who's he going to? I don't know who he'll go as 12. Really big.
But you say that though. He always has. And Roberts, you think of, and Jonathan Davis has played there, but. New Zealand, he went with Sexton and Fats.
Yeah, true.
Which was
who did he go with first?
Well, he went with
Teo.
Yeah.
So he went with someone big first,
and then Hadley Parks as well in Wales again. So
I think genuinely it'll be Bundy and Robbie probably the first one. But then if we needed to play a lot more, I think Faz could go in at 12 and have Robbie outside him, and then you've two real good playmakers, and then obviously someone who we haven't talked about is Chris Harris, who was like, he's a big man, actually, and he's quite fast and stuff. So he's someone I didn't probably know much about until you actually see him train as well, and he's very sharp as well. So he's in, like, all those boys are in with a shout.
Imagine he'd be a massive part of Tandy's defence system in Scotland. 13, so he'd know him well, and so
he's
potential by 12, can he?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, he's a phenomenal defender, Harris.
Yeah.
But you know Tandy better than anyone, I guess, here. You know, what's he like as a... It's a lot of talk about how his relationship with players and really asking and listening to them. You know, it's obviously his first tour in that sense.
He's changed a lot because I've known Steve for 20-odd years now. We played, he was my under-21s captain. Always really dour, miserable, you know, so we went... And then he became a head coach and he was...
Typical back rower then.
Yeah, still pretty dour, still pretty miserable. But over the last couple of years, he kind of had the thing with the Ospreys where... He kind of got sort of pushed out a wee bit, probably a bit early. And he kind of, I think, reflected a lot and, you know, started reading a lot, which shocked me. And started being really philosophical around life again, another thing that shocked me with him. But he's a good bloke, and he's, you know, he's really caring, and it's not fake. It's not a fake. He's not like, oh, yeah, Betty, I was the family. You know, he actually cares about you, and he's you know, he's always been amazing with me. And then when I, because being head coach is one of your best mates is a bit weird. So it was quite strange. But he's also, he had no issues giving me a kick up the arse and giving, you know, or calling the big boys out. So he'll do a great job. First and foremost, great coach and, you know, fantastic bloke as well.
It is. So, Shaunie, the wonderful people at Vodafone have got an app out where the fans voted. Are you on it there, clearly?
I'm on it here now.
To see who the fans wanted as their test 15 for the first test. Now, this is obviously before any games. Yeah. So I'll just get your opinion, you two. So at one, Wyn Jones, yay or nay?
Yes for me.
Yeah, go on in.
I'm going with Mako as a massive impact off the bench.
Okay. Ken Owens?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I like that you're thinking about this a bit more than Sean. Furlong?
First name on the team sheet.
Team sheet.
Team sheet.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And he's also the only person who talked to you in jersey, isn't he? So, helpful.
Barely.
Then you got Marrow and Wyn Jones, second row.
Yeah.
Yes, from me as well.
Tom Curry, Faletau, and Hamish Watson at six. So six, Watson, Curry seven, Faletau eight.
Seven and eight for me, yes.
Yeah.
A six, no. We have.
No, we're going with Tyburn at six, so I am anyway.
Yeah, Courtney Laws maybe. These guys.
He'll go with someone big, but he'll also, I think he'll need someone to get over the ball a lot more. And Tyburn, of all the players in that squad, has turned over more balls.
Mm-hmm. He has.
Yeah.
Wouldn't go with Henderson second row or Courtney second row and put Marrow at six?
I think the bench though is going to be major.
But play your best players in the best positions for you. Those are your best player second row. Yeah. You know, play him there. And I think six is a funny one, I think, because you could play Curry and Tipperick. Mm.
Yeah, you could.
There's a lot of porch let in, isn't it? So
yeah, it's just who's. I suppose it's just who's doing it a lot more and frequently, and that's Ty Burns at the minute, in my opinion.
Yeah, true. And he's a genuine option.
And he's an annoying player as well to play against.
He's the defensive work. I understand. Yeah. It's more the attack. You see, if you have Tipperick in the wider channels as well as Faletau, you know, you talk about the expansive game plan. Tipperick's the best back row. Well, Faletau, those
he's
two are
the
best
skillful
in,
back row,
in the wide channel. Mm. So they've gone with Colin Murray at nine, Finney Russell at 10, and they've got Farrell at 12.
Murray, a yes from me anyway.
Yeah, Murray, no.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I'm still haven't got over the Thomas Williams hasn't gone. I'm annoyed with that. But Murray, yeah, for me. Dan Bigger for me.
Yeah, Dan Bigger as well. Just the way he's been, the way I've seen him train this week as well, he's sharp as I've ever seen, to be fair to him. And Finn is obviously after joining the squad now, so he has to settle into what the game plan is going to be like. He'll probably know it inside out because it's the association with Gregor, etc. But I still think Finn, just to steady the ship in the first one, and to steady the ship in the first one and let Finn light it up, then maybe off the bench.
I think Biggs is more of a Gats type of player than Finn Russell. I know Finn Russell's got a class magic, but it's going to be a different type of atmosphere, isn't it? It's not like a Six Nations game, Lions in South Africa. It's just the intensity is different level, you know. So
so
someone like Biggs who's been there, done it, you know, we'll probably relish it. Same as Faz, to be fair.
Yeah.
Faz will be exactly the same.
Yeah, I worry about Russell in that he hasn't goal kicked for club or country properly for a long time. And, you know, he's not playing, you know, he's not in the defence arena or the racing arena where he's, you know, he's a bit different. Yeah. He gets at altitude again. Yeah. up in
Joburg.
Peter
Steffensroy. I'm flaying at you all the time.
And I also think that if you've got Finn at 10, I think you need to have just strike runners off him everywhere. But yeah, so who are your centres then? They've gone with Farrell and Henshaw, 12-13.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I think Henshaw's a shoo-in, either 12 or 13, personally. Faz, for his leadership, could be involved. But as I said, you know, Gats does like a big 12, so... Yeah, but, you know, Henshaw could do that role, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could. I do think it'll probably be Bundy. I think he'll go with Bundy just because he's big and physical for the first one, and Robbie. But yeah, if they wanted to, it depends on what they're trying to do, I suppose. First off, like, Faz is incredible in that 12 shirt as well, and has been. But Robbie, for me, is definitely, whether he starts in 12 or 13, he's a starter in the centre, mm-hmm. the way he's been playing and, you know, the way he goes about his business.
And then back three, interesting pure speed here. You've got Lewis Rhys-Zammit, Anthony Watson, and Stuart Hogg at fullback. My take on that is you can't go into this test series without Liam Williams as the best aerial exponent in Northern Hemisphere, possibly the world, and two games altitude, you have to have him. Now, I personally would probably have him at 15 because he's so good aerially, and then I would have Watson on one wing and you can take your pick on the other wing, and I'd possibly probably look at Josh Adams.
Yeah.
I think aerially he's good, works hard, physical for me. But you could also go Hogg at fullback and then Williams.
I'd probably go that way, the way things are at the minute. I go 14 and 15 exactly the same, Watson and Hogg, but I put Liam Williams in instead of Rhys-Zammit. Just in the arena that they're going into as well, Liam Williams is one of the hardest players I've ever come across in my life. He is like, I know he's not the biggest man in the world, but he runs into you. It's like hitting a girder. Honestly, he knocked me out in the last Wales game I bled in. And I was like, fired myself at him. And I was like, what did I just hit there?
Like, phenomenally.
So he's phenomenal, so he is. But again, you talk about his aerial threat. His skill set is phenomenal too.
Yeah.
But, and the reason why I have Hogg in there as well is if we're going to run back at South Africa, which I think the Lions are going to do, and play this, like, you know, unstructured game, you have to have him in the team. He's so dangerous, he's electric pace, and you've got them two boys around him.
Yeah.
It makes a very, very scary back three.
What about the big fella off the bench?
And the Mervin.
Yeah.
I'm worried about him in terms of he's raw defensively. His physicality is if you're going with Owen at 12 and everything, I think he'd be great to come on and give you some ball carrying, get you over the gain line. Like, he's going to relish playing against South Africa and fly into them. I just worry I haven't seen him a lot in terms of the aerial game, and defensively I know he was a little bit unsteady at times. But going back to Liam Williams, he's built like a jockey's whip, but he hits rucks and smashes people. It was the biggest shock when he came to Saracens was not only how good he was as a rugby player, like just finding gaps, making breaks, but it was his physicality. Like, he would just run off nine half the time in through forwards. He would come in there and try and go in every breakdown. Like, he's just such a competitor.
Like, I know I didn't play with him that much, really. I kind of finished by the time he came along, but I remember when he was like with the Scarlets, he used to have this massive mop of hair, and he'd be into everyone.
Scaffolder.
You know, he'd start fights with everyone. He'd be, you know, going after any of our big name players, and just like no care in the world. Just that's what I loved about him. Just and you know, he's a great bloke.
he's a really nice guy too. I roomed with him as well twice, and he was brilliant roommate. To be fair, so funny.
I wouldn't scrap him. Yeah. So head over to the official British and Irish Lions app, where it's powered by Vodafone, and you can continue the voting there.
Another thing that I found quite interesting, lads, was that Gats obviously asked to vote for a leadership group, and Faz's name came out on top. No surprise to you, Goody?
Well, look, I think it's interesting that Gats even put that out to the media. He's obviously pretty clever in terms of how he uses the media, and he's probably aware that there's a few people who've questioned Owen being on the tour, or should it be Sexton, or is he playing well enough? He's been playing a championship. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me. I think he's held huge respect from his own teammates at the club and country. And I guess you guys playing against him, you hear how vocal he is and constantly leading the team and with his communication and how he leads with his actions. I think what he brings that people probably don't see is in the training week, his just level of pushing standards, the way he drives everything, how he always wants to win. He'll make sure that people, you know, won't allow for poor attitude, discipline, lazy, not working, not being competitive every single session. He just won't have it. And you need people like that because there's no off switch with him, whether, you know, training or in the game. And you know, it's good that he's appreciated by everyone, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who are respected by the rest of the team.
I was lucky enough to watch England train a couple of years ago, and I couldn't get over him. Like, I remember him when I played with him in 13, he was like a young kid, he was like 21, and I wouldn't say he was shy, because he was still quite like vocal, but he was really respectful, and he wasn't happy to be there, but he was just a nice kid, and he played well, and he was a tough boy and all that type of stuff. But I watched him in the training session with England like 2 years, and he was unbelievable. Like, exactly what you said, just whoever it was messed up or was ill-disciplined, like straight into them, like no, just eyeballing them. You know, even some of the tough forwards in the England pack at the moment, is some of the slightly looser ones as well, you know, and he'd be eyeballing them and just like telling them off, and they wouldn't react to him. He's held in like so much esteem there. They wouldn't say anything to him. You know, they were wrong. So, you know, sometimes players these days get a bit, but they were in that. Faz just told him, and I was taken aback by how dominant a personality was, really.
Yeah, he's that type of a character, like, because when he says something to you and it's said in that kind of a way, or that you're after messing up, you take heed to him straight away. And you know what the quality and the standards he brings. And you talk about other leaders, you talk about Alan Wynne. If Alan Wynne says something to you, you take notice straight away. If Johnny Sexton says something to you, or even if Marrow says something to you, even though he could look at his own discipline now himself, going into this tour. But when these boys talk and they give you messages, because they're not yapping all the time, they're not trying to deliver loads of messages, but when they talk and they give you a message, you need to process it, and you need to shut up and get on with it, and not be like, you know, as you say, I've often had lads go, well, this happened or that happened. It's not the point. You give away a penalty, you're ill-disciplined there. And the same goes for me. I've had the O'Connells and these boys as well do it to me, and you get these stare downs, and I think Faz gives you that as well. I remember him, even like if you're not running the right line, or you don't have the right shape in attack, you know, he just says, what are you doing? And it's the way he looks at you. You feel so small that you want to get it right for him the next time. And he brings people with him. He brings everyone to another standard. And that's what I think. That's why I think everyone has such respect for him. As well as there's so many other lads within this squad who I think will become leaders. Like, you have international captains right through it. So it's I think, like, Alan Wynne is going to have a lot of help within this squad, within that leadership role that he has. And Faz is definitely top of the list for him.
Yeah, I think, you know, you two, it's good to hear from you guys, because you play with him every week. But he'll be so vocal on this tour, and regardless of if he starts, he's on the bench or not, he'll constantly be pushing every single person. Sometimes he does it because he wants the reaction, because people are being lethargic in training and he wants to get them to try it harder. Sometimes it's just that's not good enough. But understanding that is what he's learnt so much over the last, say, 5 years or so, and becoming England captain has been very good for him. And again, you know, the media criticism he's had, I think Gats was quite right to put that out there and say, well, you can say what you want, but he's respected massively by his peers.
Gats is pretty clever, you know, he'll take a bit of pressure in that way. But when we played you boys in Allianz Park when there was no crowd, it was all you could hear was him and the Toji. It was so loud, it was unbelievable. It was just like, you could swear there was only two people on the field, and it was just non-stop for the 80 minutes, you know. So it's just, he'll drag boys with him, and he's also an outstanding player as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a brilliant player, and you know, he's done the business for like 10 years now, so he's got that level, that respect in the world of rugby as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
And you know, if it comes to, like, there's a kick on the line, the harder the game is, the more he'll turn up and play even better. Mm. Anyways, predictions, Bomb, this weekend, mate.
Oh, Lions or Quins? Lions?
Quins playing.
Quins, first
team
first. We're in a good place. It was a tough one the weekend against Bristol, but no, we've...
How much are you going to win by, mate?
We're not going there making them numbers, so we're going to win. Yeah, we're going to beat them.
Good celebration. Were you getting with the players or just coaches?
No, I'm not sure again in the mix, you know. Yeah? I'm not as a... as you know, social media as you did when you won the
I didn't post anything.
Big question, are we invited if you win?
No, COVID, isn't it?
Good answer.
We'll join the bubble if you want.
We'll take the PCR test straight away. Shawnee and Quins this weekend, prediction?
Yeah, I think if Quins have discipline this weekend, it's going to be a major factor in it. And then if they just keep playing the style of game that they've been so dangerous with all year, I think they will cause an awful amount of problems for Exeter. Just don't give them access into your own half and keep the ball for long periods of time against them. They crack. It's a hard thing to do because they're so organised. But if anyone can do it and if anyone can score in a few minutes, we've seen it in a lot of games this year, and in fairness, the Quins have turned a massive corner. They are very, very dangerous and can go from anywhere.
Yeah. I think two things you said there. Firstly, discipline. If you don't let Exeter into your 22, it is tough, and set piece battle is everything, but your scrum is unbelievable.
What's your prediction?
We'll get to it, mate. I'm just giving two facts. And secondly, if you can play at the tempo you play at, Danny Tapper going, if you can move them quickly, get them, you know, going backwards, you've got a chance. If you slow it down, then you don't really want
to. So exactly what I said.
I said that speed. I added that, my friend. I gave a bit of detail. You just keep saying the word discipline. It's your word of the week.
What does discipline mean?
It means everything.
Yeah, there we are.
Oh, very good.
I think it'll be a tough game, but Quins will come home with a Marcus Smith try late on.
Oh, nice.
I question these predictions if I wasn't you, I know.
Well, you're not taking me to the bookies. Because we're not allowed to.
Exactly.
And Lions, Shawnee?
I'd say Lions to win, but very, very good and tight game. And it'll be a tough day at the office for all involved, because it's the first game. But Lions to win, but by a score.
I'll go like a 28-25-ish sort of score, I think, around there, yeah. I think it'll be pretty... Yeah, I think it'll be a good game, but I think it'll be quite, yeah, the Lions just pull ahead towards the end.
Yeah, I agree. I can't really add much to that, but I think Japan will be in front at half time, and then the Lions will come through at the end.
Nice.
So, yeah, the Lions will win by 8 points for me. Well, that is it from the House of Rugby, powered by Vodafone this week. On Sunday, we're back with Jack Willis and Sculpt Brits, our Bock on the ground. Cheers, Bomb. Cheers, Sean.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, boys.
You've been listening to the House of Rugby, powered by Vodafone.